Adult Siblings Versus, a podcast where a grown-ass brother and sister put aside their childhood rivalry in order to review nostalgic pieces of pop culture separated at birth and ran into each other in a mall. I'm your co-host, Jason S. Leverett.
And I'm your long-lost other co-host, Arielle Leverett.
Brother, sister!
Brother, sister! Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So, Arielle, today we are doing a TV show, return to television after a long absence, if you don't count TV specials, but actual TV show on your recommendation.
Yeah.
So just in case anyone thought that I control this podcast with an iron fist. Anyway, Last Action Hero next week. Anyway, this week we are doing a show that we watched quite a bit of, although I think I might have stopped watching it at some point because I'm missing some crucial memories of the show. But Sister, Sister.
Yeah.
So we've talked about this before, but we unfortunately seem to have a kind of a lack of movies by, for, starring, you know, black people, you know. And it's something that I didn't really think too much about until we started doing this podcast, and I was realizing just how white all of our movies that we have nostalgia for tend to be. But you had brought up on the idea that we may have watched a lot of movies without black people, but we watch a lot of sitcoms and whatnot that starred a lot of black actors.
I mean, okay, so we got like Sister, Sister, Family Matters, Fresh Prince, Hanging with Mr. Cooper, like my equivalent of Friends. I used to watch a crap ton of Living Single. We watched the Wayans Brothers show, and
we watched Malcolm a little bit of that LL Cool J show too, which is basically just grown up Fresh Prince.
Yeah, Malcolm and Eddie. Like, we did watch. It's just kind of interesting.
And the greatest black sitcom of all time, Homeboys in Outer Space.
I mean, anytime Vashti shows up in a cartoon, I'm like so excited. Even when I was watching Invincible, like on on Amazon, and it was like, there is Vashti.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not watching Homeboys in Outer Space yet, but but we are doing Sister, Sister.
Oh, that one Sinbad thing, that TV show with Sinbad.
Oh, just, I don't even remember that one.
I don't think it lasted very long.
Sister, Sister. Starring Tia and Tamara Mowry. I would say that it's safe to say that Tia and Tamara are the second most famous twins of the 90s.
Yeah.
But
we got our own pair.
Yeah.
Hollywood, we got one.
But they didn't, like, retire. They
no.
They do stuff.
They do?
One of them is starring on a sitcom on Netflix that I never heard of until this week.
Well, Tia Mowry was on The Game, which I did watch the first season or two of The Game, and it was, you know, it's sitcom-y. It's, you know. Ooh, another great black show, Half and Half. Ooh, it just keeps coming.
No, I don't remember that one at all. What is Half and Half?
Another show about sisters, but they're half-sisters, and their parents are divorced, have been divorced for quite some time, and you know, one is like super rich and one is not. And it's a whole thing. It's interesting. It's
good. Yeah, I think I missed that.
One of the sisters, like the more like eccentric sister, was the black girl in The Craft.
Okay.
Rachel True, I want to say. Anyway, sorry.
So Tia was in Family Reunion. Tamara was on The Real, which I believe was just a ripoff of The View.
I think Tia has had the more successful, like, post-sister-sister career, from what I can tell.
I'm not going to lie and say that I am very good at telling them apart in the show.
Really?
But it does seem to me that Tia is the more natural of the two, as far as I can tell, as far as acting goes.
I mean, I'm with Brittany Murphy on this one. I find it fairly easy to tell them apart.
One's clearly taller than the other. I have noticed that.
And like their face they're faces themselves. Like, they have different face shapes. And they, and to order to make them look more similar, Tamara is the one that has a mole, and they had to draw one on Tia so they would look more identical, but they're not actually identical.
Yeah. The problem is not just that I can't tell them apart, is that I never know which one is which at any given time. So it's like, I look at them, it's like, they don't look the same, but which one is Tia and which one is Tamara?
That's interesting.
I might have ADHD. Anyway, we're going to talk about Sister-Sister, and we're gonna talk, this is also a kind of an interesting aspect of Sister-Sister that I'm not sure how common it was. I think it was the first time you and I would have seen this, for sure, this phenomenon, which I'll talk about. And also, we're talking, I have some things to say about Lisa, both the character and the actor, so I've definitely, so that's going to be a big thing. But before we get into anything, just a reminder, if you want to get a hold of us, you can shoot us an email at adultsiblingsversus@gmail.com. You can also tweet at us at adultversus through Twitter. And then you can also contact us through Facebook under Adult Siblings Versus. And then it's kind of a reminder, what really kind of helps us out spread the word of the podcast is basically word of mouth. Tell your friends. That's the best way to help the podcast grow. Also, make sure that you're giving us like the best possible score on your podcatcher of choice, especially if you want to leave a little review.
Give us them 5 stars. 5 stars only, baby.
Last time I checked, we have a perfect 5 score on iTunes.
Ooh. Ooh.
I think we had exactly 1 vote. So, but
hey, hey. Well, you know, keep up that curve, anyone, if you're voting.
Yeah.
5 stars.
Yep. Oh, I forgot. To be more specific about what we're doing today, we're not just doing the whole show. There's a lot of episodes, 119 episodes of the show. So I don't want to do this all in a 2-week period. But we specifically looked at season 1 and season 1 only. So while we can talk about the rest of the show, the main focus is going to be on season 1 because that's the one that's fresh in our minds. Get it? Got it? Good. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. So Ariel, you picked this show. So clearly you must have some sort of nostalgia for it. Can you tell me a little bit about your thoughts and nostalgia for Sister-Sister before we get started?
I mean, my memory of it is just positive. Like, I remember watching the show through, like, to completion, even with their classic, and now the final season, they're in college now, you know, like those 90s sitcoms like to do. I always liked it a lot, and I liked how the characters grew, and yeah, I don't know. I just was into it. I remember, like, being annoyed that they would say they were set in Detroit, and I'm like, where? but yeah, I really liked the show.
Yeah, the bulk of the show is clearly in the burbs.
So, yeah.
But they didn't, did you ever hear them say where? Like, where in the burbs? Like, what town?
I had not even remembered before rewatching this that they even ever said that Ray was in the burbs. They definitely do not name a place. And also, it's weird. How are you going to say that these kids are, like, from Detroit where, like, they go to Grosse Pointe and they don't know what Grosse Pointe is? Like, that is not... You are not far from home, babies. Like, so, eh.
Well, maybe someone who grows up in inner city Detroit might not know, but one of them is also from the suburbs, and they definitely would have known. So that's a little weird.
I think considering who these kids are, I don't think it should be, like, the next, like, one of the next cities over, you're like, where's this? Like, it seems a yeah. little weird. They're yeah. 14.
The way they framed that in that episode, it kind of sounded like they were talking about Grosse Pointe as if it was a street, as opposed to a city.
Well, also, when they were trying... Okay, well, this is getting ahead of ourselves. Mm. We could talk about that episode, but it's a stupid episode.
It's a stupid... Yeah, because the rest of them are so intelligent and well-written. All right. I definitely remember watching the show. I don't think I ever loved it, but I think it is one of those things that I was just okay with watching. Maybe the earlier seasons I was okay with it. I have zero memory of the latter half of the show. Like, I must have seen the finale, but I do not remember almost anything about it. Like, I don't remember, like, apparently a big plot point in the last couple of seasons is that Tia and Tamara have steady boyfriends, and those actors actually become, like, part of the main cast, and I have no memory of them whatsoever. So I'm guessing I may have watched the finale, but didn't watch the last couple of seasons on WB. I was starting high school at that point. I might have just been a little over it.
Yeah, I'm sure there probably would have been plenty of moments if, like, I start watching it and you're like, there she goes again. And then you go into your room or something.
Okay. So I didn't find a ton of, like, back behind the scenes details about how this show came to be. So as I talk a little bit about the background of this, of the show, it's going to be kind of a lot of guesswork on my part, and then it's probably not going to be a lot to begin with. But Sister Sister was a sitcom created by Kim Bass, Gary Gilbert, and Fred Schafferman that, as we said, starred Tia and Tamara Mowry. The show ran from 1994 to 1999 with 6 seasons and 119 episodes total. Interesting trivia about Kim Bass. Kim Bass, aside from being a writer on Living Color, also created another show that we used to watch that we didn't mention, interestingly, that as soon as I saw the connection, I was like, yeah, this does seem like the exact same type of show. That is Kenan and Kel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very similar energies.
Yeah, like if Tia and Tamara were friends instead of sisters and boys, it would, I'm pretty sure the dynamic, and then one of them was much dumber than they're portrayed. It would basically be the same show as Kenan and Kel.
If Tamara really loved orange soda.
Hey, Tia, where are we going to get matching scrunchies at this hour? Oh, here it goes. So the show originally ran on ABC as part of its TGIF lineup. Now, I don't think we can just drop TGIF without talking about it a little bit, but I will say that TGIF is such a huge thing that it probably deserves its own episode. That is not me saying we're going to give it its own episode. I'm just saying there's so much about TGIF that it probably would deserve it. But if you don't know, you might not know because we're talking like over 30 years ago at this point. So, but TGIF was a lineup on Fridays on ABC that was focused almost like 100% on family-friendly sitcoms.
And if you want to have some fun, show you how it's done, TGIF.
It's Friday. It was Friday night, and the moon was bright. Yeah, this is definitely accurate things to say. Thank goodness it's funny is what it apparently stood for. Full House, Perfect Strangers, Step by Step, Family Matters, Boy Meets World, eventually Sabrina the Teenage Witch, just a bunch of this very famous late 80s, early 90s sitcoms made their way through this. Sister Sister was, it was the new kid that came. It was a mid-season edition, and I think they were just kind of seeing how it would go. I think it temporarily took up Hanging with Mr. Cooper's slot when it first premiered mid-season. TGIF lasted for a number of years. Then it was red hot in the first half of the 90s, but then it kind of got old by the back half, partially because people started realizing they could do stuff on Friday night. Apparently, like, literally that is the reason. Like, apparently people were like, hey, you know what? We can just go out on Fridays. Which apparently people just weren't doing before. I don't know. I'm not sure why that is not the case. It's weird. It's a weird thing that came up when I was researching this. But then the other thing was, it sounds like they hadn't been super good after a certain point of bringing in like good shows to replace the ones that are getting long in the tooth. So we had like a lot of shows that were like well past their expiration date, kind of still hanging around. Like Family Matters is a hugely great example of that. But I think Family Matters actually ended up having to get kicked off of to a different network in the end anyway. And they would bring in new shows, and then those shows wouldn't perform as well, and they end up not sticking around very long. And a good example of that is, unfortunately, Sister Sister. Sister Sister had one season as part of the TGIF lineup, and it was a bridge season because it was a mid-season replacement. And while I don't know for sure this is what happened, what likely happens is that the numbers were not nearly high enough for ABC to want to keep it on the TGIF lineup. So when it came back for season 2, they moved it to a different night But without being on the TGIF lineup, the ratings drastically dropped. So by the end of season two, ABC decided to cancel the show. Luckily, the show was saved by... Oh, by the way, just so you know, Ariel, the other shows that were going on at the time Sister Sister was on the air, because I thought it might be interesting, because I looked it up. So Family Matters, which was like deep into its life at that point. Step by Step, which wasn't that far behind. Boy Meets World, and then Hanging with Mr. Cooper was the show that Sister Sister took over for when it was on, when it was like in between seasons.
All shows I watched a shit ton of, so that sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. Sister Sister was saved by the WB in 1995. Now, the WB as a network formed in January of 95. And while I don't have explicit details on their reasoning for picking up Sister Sister, I think it can be kind of obvious. They are a brand new network. They're probably hurting for content, just absolutely hurting for anything to be shown and hopefully stick. Sister Sister, a show that even if the ratings weren't high on ABC, it would have been like probably a huge coup to bring a show like that with a already cast, already the sets already built, has a previous traction with advertisers, already has a fan base. Like, this would be WB striking gold. Like, they could have a show that's already has a name without having to pay the money to start the show. Okay. So it was probably a godsend for them. I'm trying to remember what other shows were on WB. I feel like WB had a lot of shows that, I think the Wayans Brothers was on WB.
Yeah.
I think they had a decent amount. I'm remembering like a lot of sitcoms that lasted a season. and I can't remember their names. But I think this was the first time I'd ever heard, like, I know it's not the first time it ever happened, but for me, I think it was the first time I ever heard of a show being canceled and then being rescued by a different network. These days, it happens pretty frequently. Like, the last non-streaming service example I can think of was Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which was on Fox, and it ended up going to NBC, where it probably should have been in the first place, honestly.
Yeah.
One thing I want to bring up before move on. Oh, by the way, just so we're understanding, the last four seasons of Sister Sister ended up being on the WB. This is, we're all on the same page there. You might have already assumed that. But I want to briefly mention Jack A. Harry, a little ahead of characters and actors, mainly because I wanted to make sure that we talked a little bit about the show that she used to be on before Sister Sister, which was
227?
227. A show that I don't know if it's fair to say that we watched it, but it was on a lot when I was a child. I think it might have been a little before you would have been able to have memories of it.
So 227 was in a part of a lump of TV shows from like the 80s and late 70s that were on syndication that were in my zeitgeist. I did not watch it as much as I did other shows in that frame, because like I was more likely to watch, say, like What's Happening or Silver Spoons. But it was in that same kind of lump of things. Facts of Life.
I was a much bigger fan of What's Happening than almost any of those other shows.
Sure.
I just couldn't get over like the main character, a scheming guy with glasses, because like in my mind, the guy with glasses is the nerdy nice guy, but he was What's Happening, he was a schemer. But I just wanted to point out that Jack A has kind of been around our lives, like our whole lives, like she's been in the background. Jack A was like the only person who I immediately recognized when the show was first on the air, because she'd been so ubiquitous in my childhood at this point, and even to this day. You know, when I see her in something, and I was like, oh, it's Jack A. Kind of a sad story. It turns out that she was kind of typecast in this kind of role. Because she's playing a similar character in 227. Apparently, she felt that she was being... When she was doing 227, she felt like she was kind of being typecast in this way. People didn't think that she could act, although she was actually she was from the theater, like she had a theater background. And eventually she accepted things, but apparently it was very sad for her in the 80s. Like, she wanted to be taken more seriously as an actor. But instead they wanted her to be the sassy, you know, loudmouth black woman.
Yeah, that's Hollywood for you.
Yeah. So anyway, she plays a sassy, loudmouth black woman in this show. So she's on a soap opera right now, but she's on the major one.
And I would say, I mean, I can't really remember details of 227, but I think, I feel like more here, she gets to have more opportunities of range because, like, she's still, like, a mother who has to, like, have, like, these serious moments and heartfelt moments. And so, like, at least there's that. I'm sure there was more to her character in Sister Sister than there was in 227.
Probably. I don't remember anything about 227 at all. And I was today's years old when I realized a young Regina King was on that show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thankfully, we're not doing that today, so not to worry about it. But I gotta tell you, Ariel, when you said that you wanted us to watch a TV show about twins, I definitely ended up watching the Mary-Kate and Ashley mysteries. And it was only when I got to about 90% of those cassettes that I realized that, oh, you meant Tia and Tamara. So while I quickly try to rewatch the 12 episodes that I missed, how about you go ahead and tell the folks a little bit about the premise of Sister Sister?
Yeah. So the overall premise of this story, you have Tia Landry. She is a kid who was adopted by her mom, Lisa. And then you have Tamara Campbell, who was a kid who was adopted by Ray Campbell, living their full separate lives. Tamara in the suburbs, Tia in, like, downtown Detroit, they say. And the first episode, the pair are shopping separately. The girls end up kind of in the same outfit, and then people mistake one for the other, and then they meet, and they're like, what the what? It turns out they were twins, and they were separated in the orphanage, and apparently they allowed people to just adopt a kid without informing them that they were a twin. Like, I feel like usually they give you the option to adopt siblings. I have no idea how you can adopt a kid and not know that there's two.
It means it was probably a shady arrangement and or corrupt and evil.
Oof. That's rough.
Like, maybe maybe the I don't know if it's an orphanage or what, but maybe they were like, if we try to give them as a pair, the number of interested parents drops because most parents aren't going to want to adopt, you know, twins. But if we do it separately, we can get that cash money twice, and we'll just keep it on the down low that they're siblings. You know what I'm saying?
Crazy stuff. Not the worst thing we've seen in relation to twins, because the parent trap is a thing that exists.
The story of the documentary Three Identical Strangers was like the triplets who were adopted separately and didn't discover themselves until they were young adults.
I have wanted to see that and then never got around to it because there are too many things to watch, but... That's crazy.
In fact, chances are Sister Sister was probably partially based off of that story, because it was a big story when it first happened.
I can imagine that. I can imagine someone being like, this would be a fun sitcom. Let's take the seriousness out of it. But, so they meet, and obviously they're like, holy shit, I'm a twin. I want to be with my twin. And eventually it gets arranged that... Tia and Lisa move in with Tamara and Ray, and the girls get to know each other and they get to be sisters. And like the first season is a lot of growing pains with that. And then you have Lisa and Ray as a kind of odd couple situation. And also like a weird will they, won't they, that they don't keep doing, which I appreciate that they didn't like hold on to that.
Well, we'll talk about that.
But like, yeah, so that's pretty much the long and short of it. And then you have an annoying neighbor like you do in these things.
Yeah, usually the annoying neighbor isn't
a pop star.
I guess he's a pop star. I was going to say, was he a pop star before or after the first season of the show?
I looked it up. Technically, Immature started in like before this, but I'm not sure how actually popular they were. I don't think they were popular yet.
Yeah. I was going to say like a sex criminal in training.
Yeah, holy shit. What a little monster. Yeah. Like, he gets away with a lot of shit because he's like, I'm small. And it's like, no, you can't. Like, he reminds me of boys from my childhood. It's like, you don't get to be a creepy little asshole because you're small. Like, yeah.
All right. So, I mentioned this to you before when we were not recording, but Sister Sister kind of feels to me like a prototype to a lot of the sitcoms that would show up on like Nickelodeon or the various Disney channels, do I know any of their names? Like, I think there's a show called Victorious. I think that's one that I'm thinking of. iCarly, those type of shows.
Yeah,
where it's like following these kind of young teens and they're doing kind of these outrageous things, like these outrageous situations that are either cartoonishly ridiculous or extraordinarily mundane, acted out as if it's cartoonishly ridiculous.
Yeah, like, because it was it okay, like iCarly, I feel like maybe like Drake and Josh, kind of stuff has that kind of energy.
The Suite Life.
Zack and Cody.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, they have this vibe.
Yeah, because I don't know how many of those sitcoms were floating around. I know that Nickelodeon was starting to experiment with that because they had Keenan and Kel. Like My Brother and Me was another show. A lot of black shows. Nickelodeon was doing okay by black folk.
Yeah.
This to me kind of feels like it wouldn't feel out of place at all on like the Disney Channel Nickelodeon lineup in like the early 2000s, mid 2000s. Whenever those shows were popular, I actually don't know. I've basically lost track of those type of things after I started college, and so I have no idea what happened when and where and who.
I feel like Moesha was, you know, which I definitely like overlapped, but this started first, and I feel like, you know, they were probably able to get where they were because, at least partially because of Sister Sister.
Yeah, you know, I actually would I had not watched Moesha since it was on the air, so I actually don't know, like, the tone of the show at all. Like the tone of Sister Sister reminds me a lot of the tone of these other shows, but, like, I don't remember Moesha. I remember Moesha feeling fairly serious at the time, but I was also young. So my understanding of what is and what is not serious is obviously super skewed.
I mean, I don't think Moesha was nearly as goofy as it, but, like, I just think that, I think one of the reasons you could do a show like Moesha is because like Sister Sister was successful.
Sure. So this show. So this was. This show was a little difficult for me to watch. Thankfully, it was only 12 episodes. If this was a full season, it would have been closer to 20 to 22 episodes. I am not 100% certain I would have been able to make it. This is a very silly show, and it was really difficult for me to hold interest very long, as the problems just seem, you know, like, I've said this before, I'm a 37-year-old man in the year of our Lord 2022, and this show was not made for me, made in 94. It's only a family show, but I mean, like, kids, it's for kids, right? So, like, when I see Tia and Tamara freaking out over whether or not they get asked to a dance, I'm just kind of like, I don't care. And that's the focus of all the wackiness of the episode. I'm just like, oh boy, don't care. Found myself more interested in the B plots with the parents more often than not.
Sure, yeah. yeah, this was definitely a show that was made for me. I think I think it was like perfect for a black girl of my age, you know. I was super into it. Yeah, definitely. That is interesting now, understandably, and I'm okay with that. If I still found it as interesting as I did when I was like 8, then, you know, things wouldn't be going great.
Okay, now you say that, but I still enjoy watching Transformers. So,
yeah, that feels different to me. But like this kind of like, I feel like in a similar strain, it's just like if you're still like, oh boy, Saved by the Bell, though, you know, it's just like, eh.
Oh man, I don't feel that way about the original Saved by the Bell, but God damn it, am I mad the reboot got canceled.
I never watched it. Oh, I guess I could, but okay.
It's so good. This is not the Saved by the Bell hour, you know. Maybe we'll do a Saved by the Bell thing at some point. There's a lot of Saved by the Bell. It'd be kind of, and I definitely wouldn't want to start watching Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
Yeah, I think because I feel like there are certain shows that it might be like kind of this show's best hits. And just kind of hit those important episodes.
You know what? We don't need to do Saved by the Bell. If you want to hear a podcast about Saved by the Bell, listen to Zach to the Future.
No, well, yeah.
That's a much better show to listen to Saved by the Bell stuff. Or anyway, as far as this show, Sister Sister, goes, yeah, it was just a little hard to kind of get into it for me. I will say that I did appreciate how Tia and Tamara start diverging characters throughout the first season. They seem basically identical in the first couple episodes, aside from maybe some very minor things. But then they start kind of like the two of them have kind of more distinct personalities, and you can really start telling even by the way they dress. Mm-hmm. As like, I was kind of noticing that Tamara tended to dress louder than Tia tended to be more conservative. It seems to kind of go along with her more like nerdy, like responsible type.
Yeah, very straight laced.
Yeah. And Tamara being like more of the schemer, less like more impulsive. Oh god. Like that's, I don't know if we're bleeding too much into characters, but I almost stopped watching the show when Tamara decided she was gonna go driving in her dad's car. Not go driving, but just like back. She was like, I'm just gonna hop inside the wheel and I'm going to back up, and Tia's just like, what the hell are you doing, you idiot? He was like, "This is gonna be great." It's like, no, it's not gonna be great. Oh, no, I'm turning it on. Now I'm backing up. Oh no, how can you let me do this?
Yeah, there's throughout this first season, there is a lot of, I mean, sometimes it goes the other way, but there's a lot of Tamara has a scheme and kind of guilts Tia either to letting her do whatever scheme or to like do the scheme along with her. Like, case in point, she gets Tamara to switch places with her so she can take a test for her, and they almost get away with it, but Tia immediately buckles under pressure.
Well, the real problem was Brittany Murphy accidentally ratted them out.
Oh well, yes, but like they almost got away with it because when they called home. Yeah. They managed to fake out the school into thinking that they were talking to Lisa, and so they were almost home free.
That actually kind of reminds me of high school. If I had a quarter for every time I got to the answering machine first and deleted a message from Cass Tech, I'd have several quarters.
For what? I can't even. What would you have gotten a call home for?
I don't remember.
Huh? I can't think of it any time that someone would have called home for me. Skipping class?
Maybe. I don't remember skipping class. I feel like I usually went to class. Oh, you know what? I might have skipped some class in like the last week of school after the seniors graduate and everything is all like empty and no one's doing anything, but they still take attendance.
I mean, that's literal senioritis. I mean, that's to be expected.
Well, that's not senioritis. It's like the seniors are gone. Like with the underclassmen.
Oh, you were underclassmen and you were like, clearly we're done. Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, like, I may have left high school like early, on occasion, here and there, to go to do something with like friends downtown Detroit.
Just hearing this makes me really fucking jealous. Never got to do. I got choir practice.
The only extracurricular thing I did was like the anime club, and I was a teacher's aide for a lot of things. And most of my teacher aide stuff was during the day. Anywho. Will I keep that in there, knowing our parents listen to this? Well, I don't know.
Well, what are they gonna do about
it? Yeah, what are they gonna do? I'm celebrating Father's Day because I've got a kid. So, like, what the hell are they gonna do?
Yeah, look who successfully graduated high school and went on to college. So apparently, it did not fucking matter.
Anyway, I do appreciate that the show kind of finds itself. What kind of weirds me out about the show, and maybe I'm thinking too hard about. I mean, my expectations might be a little high for a show like this, but it kind of bothered me that the show doesn't focus as much on the insanity of the situation of finding out you're a twin as much as you think they would. It seems like they're kind of touch on some aspects of it, but doesn't seem like anyone is freaked out enough about the situation. Like, no one, like, we don't even get to see a scene where they talk to the adoption agency.
Yeah, no one checks up on that.
I mean, they do. We see them at they're at the adoption agency, but Ray and Lisa are in a room that we, the audience, get to see, and we're just seeing Tia and Tamara going like, "Do you think that we're sisters? We must be." And then we hear Ray and Lisa complaining about them, about the agency. Yeah. We don't actually see what the possible excuse was. Was it a clerical error? That seems like a really big clerical error. It seems pretty crazy. But then also, like, how does one deal psychologically with the idea that they suddenly have a twin that they never knew about their entire life, something in close proximity? What does that do to your mental health?
Your sense of self, like, all of that.
Yeah. And it seems like at some point there's an episode where I think it's Tia is like getting a little sick of having a twin, but then within an hour they decide they're okay with it.
Yeah, the idea to be an only child and then to have like a double of you that you're sharing a room with, like all of a sudden, like they have multiple like matching outfits that end up happening, like all of this just kind of instantly. And yeah, it is weird. There's just like, this is fine.
And
like,
it's not even just the like the twin aspect too. How do you deal with suddenly having a sibling with a much different economic background as you?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Tia seems to really take things in stride, but like it is like I feel like had the roles had been like reversed, I think there would have been like more resentment on like Tamara's side had she been in the like lower income family.
I think that there still could have been resentment. I mean, like, no one is actually just one thing. Like, she can be laid back and kind of take things in stride, but also kind of like secretly is bothered by Ray flashing all this limo money all the time. Not all the time, but certainly on their birthday.
Yeah, I wonder. Like, I don't know if it's just exciting that now that money gets to be thrown at her. Because, I mean, she does benefit from it. Like, they, you know, he gets them both. He was going to give them both concert tickets and blah, blah, blah. It wasn't like, I'm going to get this for Tamara and you ask Lisa for something. Like, he tends to provide sister stuff for both of them, so maybe she's just excited that now she's getting the money. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is something that they could have done more of.
Yeah,
but I guess like that kind of tells you.
And for all, like, because I can't remember, there might be an episode where this might come up.
Yeah, that's true. We only watched the first season, but I remember watching the show and feeling like. Like, after the first season, they barely even mentioned the fact that they were separated at birth. It was kind of like they'd always been sisters and super in sync. Now, I'm not saying that they never touched this stuff, but I don't remember them touching this stuff. I remember the first season being, like, was the main part of them getting used to the idea of being siblings, and then the rest of the show, they're now used to it, and they don't even bring it up.
Yeah, it is weird. They're just, like, instantly, like, best friends! Like, they've always known each other, and it is strange.
I feel like the closest we get to, like, any real problems for the weirdness of suddenly having a twin sister is Brittany Murphy's character. By the way, we've said her name multiple times. Brittany Murphy is fucking in the show. Like, holy shit. Like, I had no idea until watching this.
I did remember that. My big, like, remembrances is just, like, you get early Brittany Murphy, and you also get, a little later on, you get early Gabrielle Union. She is also in this show.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the first time I ever saw Brittany Murphy was in Clueless, but apparently this is before Clueless.
I feel like this is baby's big break.
Yes, baby face Brittany Murphy. Like, Brittany Murphy, who obviously Sally passed away way too young.
I mean, like, the whole time I was watching this, I was just like, gone too soon. Yeah. Gone too soon.
She is probably an underrated actor. We're kind of jumping ahead to characters, right? But, like, she was a pretty underrated actress in her time. She could basically do anything that's put in front of her. She's been in a wide variety of projects. I didn't even know she was a TV actor at all until watching this. Like, she's all over the spectrum of things. But
yeah, when I was watching this and FM came into the room and I'm like, it's Brittany Murphy. And he's like, Luann. And I was like, yep, that too.
That's the other TV. I was thinking about that too and I have forgotten. Yeah, she was. But, you know, when you're voicing a cartoon sitcom, apparently you can still have a completely full movie career without that interfering too much, as
Mila Kunis has demonstrated.
Yeah, but something else that I want, this maybe this is also jumping ahead into characters, but it's something that I noticed is I think it feels like the show, and I actually did look ahead, so I think it does. I think this is where they were trying to go, but they are trying to have a will they or won't they situation between Ray and Lisa.
Yeah.
But, boy, they have zero chemistry.
Yeah. I feel like they finally lead into, like, well, they just make that the point. Like, I think they don't, it doesn't have to be like that, you know? Like, I think the show is better for it. Like, the idea of just, like, they become really good friends and really good support for each other. But it doesn't have to be romantic.
Yeah, I think this first season was following the rules of television.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely feels that way.
Every time they were clearly not romantically involved, I was like, this is fine. But by the end of the season, they're making out. So it's like, not super happy about that. But it seems to me that they were trying to set that up. And apparently there is a period of the show where they are dating. But the show ends with them being, you know, close friends. And I think the series finale, Lisa actually gets married to someone who's definitely not Ray.
Yeah.
But that was a problem I had with the show. Like, anytime that they were doing anything that implied that this is an opposites attract situation, I just kind of tuned out.
Also, like, any time that they tried to make Ray remotely sexual, I'm just like, I don't like this.
Yeah, I mean, like, I got some opinions about Ray that I'll hold off. Although I will say that Tim Reed is also, like, who plays Ray is also, like, much like Jack A, he is someone who had been famous in previous sitcoms. I think the one that we would have not watched, but would have been in our sphere would have been, like, WKRP in Cincinnati, because I think someone in our family was watching that and then knew him from that, and so brought it up.
Like, I know that this is a thing that exists literally just because I looked it up, but I have absolutely no memory myself of this show.
No, I've never watched the show. I've seen, like, a tiny bit of it, and I'm pretty sure it was just that, you know, our parents, who would have been young adults when that show was on, just, you know, made it and watched it. And then they saw him, a sister, like, oh, it's the guy from WKRP in Cincinnati. And I'm like, and our little kids are like, we don't know what that is.
Shut up, I'm watching a show.
So Tim Reed is also a famous guy. I just didn't know who he was compared to Jack A. I'm trying to think of any other stuff that I have to say about the show. I feel like I watched a lot of this. I watched more of this than most of the stuff that we end up talking about in this podcast, because it was a show, not a movie. But I'm finding myself being kind of like, yeah, that's kind of it. Everything I got to say. I think it's overly... It's one of those things where it's just not for me, and therefore I feel weird about just dunking on it for being, like, silly. Like
that. Yeah, I mean, it's like... It's a lot of low stakes. Like they're just dealing with like little things, and like, you know, and also we're dealing with a first season, and we all know that most sitcoms, like, you're not getting the full example of a show with the first season. Like you think about like things like the first few like episodes of Fresh Prince is like, yeah, that's not, you know, you're not there quite yet. And you can tell, at least on Netflix, the episodes are out of order because they have a weird continuity with whether or not they have the cat yet.
That's interesting because the episodes of Sister Sister are explicitly not in release order. They're in production order. So there's actually an episode from season two that's in this season because it was supposed to be in season one.
Interesting. I wonder. There's definitely... That's confusing. It's all confusing. So they managed to still not show them in order.
Well, I think this is the order it's supposed to be. I think ABC was the one that they put it out of order.
Oh, well, sure. But, like, as far as just whoever put this order of shows this way, like, it's not in order. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a little like kind of we're just having a good time kind of show, and then you have like the parents making like adult jokes that I ignored a lot of, and you know.
One thing I will say about this sitcom, it feels extremely 90s.
Yes, it is. when they're doing their like they have a talent show, and the kids are like auditioning for the talent show. And there's, like, an ongoing joke that, you know, the audition is not going well. And you have, like, three different kids do Whoop, There It Is for their audition piece. And you're just like, yeah. Yeah. And also, the outfits are, like, outrageously 90s looking.
Yeah, like, yeah. Speaking of that talent show episode, I believe that's the episode where, I guess it was Tia's grandma, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, who comes to visit. Which, by the way, that's a B plot with the parents that I fucking hated because it was Lisa convincing Ray to pretend to be her husband because apparently she had told her mom that she had married Ray for reasons I do not understand.
Yeah, like the idea, like, you're not like living in sin. Like I don't see the point of trying to hide that, like, yeah, so like we found out that like my daughter's a twin and we're like now we're co-parenting because we want the kids to stay together. Yeah. I don't know why that's something that you need to hide.
Yeah. I mean, like, they are roommates. It's the best way to, like, describe it. Like, they, so like, I don't understand. But anyway, the grandma is telling Tia, like, she name drops some musicians that I was appalled that the character that Tia didn't recognize.
I know.
Like, because she brings up Satchmo, of course, Louis Armstrong.
And she's just like, who is?
Who's Satchmo? And then I was thinking, like, okay, she said Satchmo. She didn't say Louis Armstrong. If she said Louis Armstrong, Tia probably would have recognized it. And then she's like, okay, how about Sammy Davis Jr.? And she's like, who's Sammy Davis Jr.? I'm like, okay,
come on now.
Like, you guys are older than I am. Like these twins are born in the 70s. Like, how do they not know these names? They don't have to listen to it. And frustrating.
Also, like, anytime, I feel like calling Louis Armstrong Satchmo, it feels so 90s to me. Because, like, I have never in life ever heard someone call him Satchmo. And, like, I think about this and Rugrats.
Yeah. That's how I was telling my wife this, how I knew Satchmo. Because she was like, how do you know Satchmo? Oh, from Rugrats. She's like, okay, sure, whatever. Like, and she started tuning me out a little bit. Because in Rugrats, Satchmo is how they mispronounce Sasquatch, who they were afraid of.
Yeah, and at one point, I guess it had to be Angelica. It was like saying something to the adults about, like, you know, Connor, like, them running around, whatever, and she was saying they're afraid of the Satchmo, and they're like, the trumpet player?
Yeah, I guess the grandma should have just brought up some Motown artists, because then T would have no excuse to pretend to not know who they are. If you were born in 1979, I believe it's when they were born, and you in Detroit, and you're raised in Detroit, even at 14 years old, if someone brings up several examples of Motown and you have no idea what they're talking about, then you have to be executed. Like, that is just the rules of Detroit. You get onto a raft, you get pushed out to sea.
You think that you're hoping that the ties will change, you'll just end up on Belle Isle, but you won't.
Anything else about the show proper before we get into characters?
I don't think so right now. If something comes up, I'll bring it up.
Okay. I want to focus on, especially since we already talked about Brittany Murphy, because now we don't have to anymore. Mm-hmm. I really want to focus on the five principal characters of this season. Mm-hmm. So we've already talked about the twins, Tia and Tamara. So I don't know if there's too much more to say, but I will say that I think that Tia seems to be the more interesting performance of the two. Like, I find Tia to be a more compelling performance. So the idea that Tia is the one that's still, you know, acting more frequently feels like that makes sense to me.
Yeah, but their acting style at this point is very, like, they're still pretty young. And yeah. So, like, their acting is still pretty bombastic.
Yeah. Although I feel like Tamara is more bombastic, and she's got a lot more goofy facial expressions going on. Mm-hmm. I think that Lisa is the best character of the show.
Agreed.
It's just interesting because when I was a kid, I think I hated Lisa.
That's interesting. I don't think I ever disliked Lisa. I think I always enjoyed her.
I think I was. I think I just didn't. As a kid, I didn't like that archetype, like the quote unquote loud, bossy Black lady, because I think I might have been dealing with that a little too much in my own life, like my greater, you know, cultural sphere in my life.
Sure.
However, Lisa is great. Like, not only does she have like the best lines in the show consistently, like in the sea of so-so writing, the best line of the episodes are always like some quip that she throws at someone.
Yes, she does a great, considering like how like loud her character is, like in all ways, not just in volume, but like when she has like a one-liner that she slides in usually to mock Ray, like she delivers it so well. Like she just has like great comedic rhythm.
Yeah, like ridiculously so. Like she's so like effortlessly good at playing comedy in this.
Yeah,
like it's actually kind of funny to note that she was an actress who kind of got typecast as a comedic actress, where apparently Tim Reed was actually like some sort of comedian and is and playing the more straight-laced character. But I think Jack A is great in this show. And Lisa's character is actually, the show doesn't do it any favors, but she's really like this strong-willed character in a way that mm-hmm. isn't super obvious, in the sense of like the show doesn't say like, oh yeah, Lisa's a very strong-willed mother. But you look at it like she's like the single mom who, as soon as she's in a situation where she goes into business for herself, she's just hitting the ground running. Like, she is, like, hustling, and she is being successful. Like, she's more successful as a seamstress than I've ever been as a musician.
And, like, she stands up for herself always, you know? Like, she doesn't take shit. And, like, even though, you know, a lot of times she is this funny character, she does all these goofy things, but, like, you have these moments, and I think that's one of the reasons why I liked her, and it would always draw me in when, like, she has these serious moments that are really genuine, and she becomes this, you know, a wise person, and I think she does that, like, equally well, and she just has the best range. Definitely better than Tim Reed. The idea that he was once a comedian is very funny to me, because I just, like, God, you must have been so fucking boring. But
at least he's the best in this. This, like, if we were to watch more of this, the only thing that'll probably get me through is be Lisa, to be perfectly frank. Ray, I did not like as much. Although a lot of my problem with Ray as a character stems from what I'm reading about Ray, in that him being like a conservative Republican, but that doesn't actually come up in season one.
I don't even remember that being a thing.
He's a member of the Republican Party. But I mean, like, he's supposed to be the straight man, but he seems like he's really mean. Like, I made sure to try to figure it out. He is the one that starts the war of words with Lisa, because he gets really weird about Lisa's neighborhood and kind of implies some not great stuff about her class. And
which is classic Detroit metro, like Detroit suburb mentality. People from the suburbs are often assholes about Detroit, so that fits.
Yeah. So as far as I'm concerned, even though Lisa does constantly dunk on Ray, he started it. So and then he's very mean. Like, he, like, kind of accused, like, he almost, like, calls her, like, I don't know, like, it seemed like he was almost calling her fat in one episode, because he was saying, like, you're always talking with food in your mouth and that sort of thing. And it was kind of hard to tell if he was saying, because you're such a, because you love eating all the time, nom nom nom, or if he was saying you talk so much that you don't stop when you're eating. Neither of those things are great.
Yeah.
And he seems snobby to her. Like, he is constantly, like, holding his nose up at her fashion sense. Like, you know, he's... But at the other hand, Ray's in a really awkward situation. And, like, he has opened his home to strangers. And even though, like, the circumstances are such that it would be super nice for him to do that, he really doesn't have to. And he does it, and his whole life is upended completely. We have more issues between the living situation and the change in your life from the parents than we do from the twins, for sure. All that stuff is saved for them. Like, any, instead of having Tia and Tamara worry about their economic background, we got plenty of Ray and Lisa talking about it all the time. Now, I mean, is this good? I think it's neutral. But the way he interacts with women, the way that he interacts with the rest of the characters, I don't like Ray. At best, I am completely neutral on Ray. At worst, he is almost the worst character in the show. If we agree that the other character in the show isn't really a character, it's more just a sex joke, then Ray is definitely the worst character in the show.
I find him not very interesting, very quick to accuse Lisa of things, like... I feel like anything that goes wrong is obviously there's some in some way or another it's Lisa and blah blah blah, and it's just like it's just frustrating.
I feel like the show kind of sides with Ray more than it should.
Yeah, and I feel like this is a symptom of the 90s, just like the kind of the times. Like, I feel like, I think now we are much quicker to be like, Lisa's a great character. And we like her uniqueness and her loudness and her, like, unyielding, I'm gonna do me, and I'm, like, proud of it. I feel like we're more, like, our society is more into that than we were societally in the 90s. And so I feel like that's one of the reasons.
If I spit the game that Ray spit at that lady to someone in real life, not only would that person not go out with me, somehow the aura created by that instance would cause every woman in a 3-mile radius to suddenly find me disgusting.
Yeah, he's a creepy guy.
Speaking of creepy guy, so we got Roger Evans.
Oh my God.
So how is his name pronounced? Is it?
I believe it's Marquise.
Marquise Houston.
I might be misremembering, but I think it's Marquise.
I think that sounds correct. So So apparently, like you mentioned, he was a member of the group Immature, also known as IMX, apparently later in their life. I guess he still is. I guess they broke up in 2002, and they're active again as of now, but I imagine they're probably not doing a ton of stuff.
Yeah, together. I'm sure, you know, doing some nostalgia work, trying to get that money where you can.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess, because that group started in 1990, boy bands don't necessarily go through the same period of obscurity that, like other bands and other musical acts do. Like, usually when you're making a boy band, like, they're designed to be popular from the get-go. So I'm guessing Immature was probably had some level of fame before the show. So impressive that they got him in this. But boy, Roger sucks as a character. Like, he
honestly, because like I'm guessing they probably weren't that successful, and it might have been, and like, you know, he probably had a manager that was like, this is gonna be a good way for us to like really get out there, so like you should take this to kind of get more in the you know, in America's eye, you know?
I mean, how good could they have been, to be honest? Because obviously he can sing. Like, he definitely, there's even a whole episode showing where he gets to show off his singing talent. But he's got such a, like, prepubescent voice. Like, if the rest of them were like that too, it would have been listening to Kid Bops.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, like, I 100% did not even think about actually listening to this fucking group. So, like, I'm assuming that he was probably like the Michael Jackson of the group. Like, he, you know, like, I'm sure all of their voices weren't like that. I'm sure that, you know, you had your standard cute high voiced one singing the lead, at least in the beginning.
Okay. Well, let me see if I can find this out really fast. Look, let's go to Spotify right now. Okay, so hopefully you guys can't hear this, because if you can hear this, then we're gonna have to go take this episode down and go to jail, maybe. Okay, so let's look at their albums. So their first album was '94. So even though they formed in '90,
so I guess they didn't. You know, they weren't instantly successful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's just take a listen to this. Yeah. Yeah.
Considering that I can't hear this either, I'm just like, okay.
Okay. Well, that's clearly Marquise. Okay. All right, let's skip ahead. I get the idea.
Okay, wait. What song are you listening to? Because now I feel compelled to.
So I'm listening to I Don't Mind from the album Playtime Is Over.
Okay.
Which is the first track.
I'm also going to look this up, because now I'm intrigued.
All right, let's just go back to this. Okay. Yep, Kid Bops. This is definitely Kid Bops.
Oh, so they're all... Oh, what was the name of the album?
Playtime Is Over. It sounds like a girl group. Let's put it that way. Because they haven't hit puberty yet, it sounds like.
God, there's a lot of songs called I Don't Mind. Okay, here it goes.
Yep.
I like literally can't even hear this.
Wow.
Yep. I can't hear it.
Whoops.
Probably, I think my computer was like, I refuse to have you listen to two things at once. Okay. Well, I'll never know.
Okay. Well,
I'm not gonna look this up later.
Okay. Anyway, so back to Roger as opposed to his actor. Roger is supposed to be cute, funny, wacky neighbor. Roger says a lot of super heinous things. His character in the first season is depicted as being just like one bad reaction away from going to juvie for and having his record sealed for crazy like assault charges. Like, he's constantly spying on the twins. He's like hiding in their closets. He's like, the most sex jokes from this show does not come from the parents. It comes from him. I was shocked to hear some of the things that he was coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, it is really weird how little they react to how much, like, Roger gets into the house to just skeez on the girls. Like, and it really does seem to be, like, just because, like, he is small and that he kind of looks like a kid, that they're just like, I guess this is fine. It's like, No, it's not fine. And like, oh, it drives me nuts because like this weird is like, oh, it's fine. He's just like a silly boy, just being a shitty boy. And he's harmless. Is he though? Is he fucking harmless?
I mean, like, he's heartless. Like, he definitely forced him to date him in one episode. Do blackmail.
And they made it seem like he was such a hero because they had that, like, double date. And the guy that... Who was... I'm trying to remember which twin was dating the cashier guy.
Oh, it must have been Tia because Lisa was in that scene at the grocery store.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, also Molly Shannon. We'll get to that. But like, yeah, like he kind of like, Tia says she wants to go home and he kind of pushes back on that and like, you know, and Roger's like, the lady wants to go home, blah, blah. And there's like a big cheer and it's just like, whatever. Like, yeah.
I mean, like, see, there'll be these weird things, especially for comedy, where he'll do something that's like, you know, genuinely a good thing for a good person to say. And then they're like, oh, that's actually really sweet, Roger. He's like, oh, really? You want to take a shower?
Yeah. Like, it's really, really awful.
No, it's, yeah, it's gross. Now, apparently, Roger is retooled as the show goes on, especially after the actor actually hits his growth spurt and stops being so little and cute and starts being more fine, I guess. As they said in the 90s. And he becomes less of like the creepy stalker kid next door and more like the twins' best friend.
Yeah. I mean, if they had kept on that kind of personality, I mean, I would like to think that the writers would have known well enough to be like, okay, well, now this just feels like assault. Like, we can't keep doing this. But whatever. And well, by the time he gets older, I mean, at that point, immature is probably, you know, legitimately doing well, so they probably don't want to present him as a little skeez.
Yeah, maybe not. Whatever, when that change happens, it does not happen in this season, and I don't know if it happens in season two either. But yeah, I got nothing good to say about Roger. I hate him. I am creeped out by him. I wish that he was not in the show at all.
Yeah, he has a nice singing voice. That's about it.
It's not his fault that they made his character a skeez bag. They could just not make his character a skeez bag. But this is during an era where the worst stuff that he says was probably supposed to be bad, but a lot of stuff he said was just probably the writers weren't thinking about it in terms of being like horrific the way that we do with modern lenses. He's like, oh, he's just a loudmouth boy with a crush.
Ugh. It just brings back bad memories. Like it's like thinking about the kind of person Roger is, like, I'm just, my skin is crawling, and I'm just like, God, fucking little shitbag boys, and they're just, like, everyone just fine with them being,
All right.
Teach your boys not to be fucking little shits. America.
No, see, the rule in America is that you teach girls to defend themselves or to not entice the boys, and you teach the boys nothing.
My stomach is starting to hurt. I'm thinking getting a rage ulcer.
So, like I said, I wanted to mainly talk about those five characters. Is there anyone else you want to bring up before we move on?
Oh, just two like guest star shout outs. Like I gave it away too soon, but like one is Molly Shannon. Molly Shannon in that scene at the cashier. Where, like, Lisa is, like, taking a super long time, and then she has a bunch of coupons. The cashier is a young Molly Shannon. Did you not notice that?
I did not.
Ah! Well, there you go. So, like, pre-SNL Molly Shannon, you know, get in those guest spots where she can. Trying to make it in Hollywood. And then... I only bring this up just because I feel like we just keep mentioning Generation X. This is going to be very funny when we finally cover this stupid special. But Bumper Robinson, who is Mondo in Generation X, he's a bellboy in the long series of bellboys. The girls.
Oh, that was a weird scene.
Yeah, it's really weird. The girls are like, "Let's get some dick," I guess. And they
let's explain it because I'm not sure everyone's seen it. So basically, what happens is that they're in a hotel room, that Ray paid for, and they keep ordering room service in order to
iced tea
specifically in order to get all the cute bellboys bellhops. They like come.
They are credited as bellboy.
Okay, all the bellboys to come in. And they're like, hey, why don't you come in and have a just hang out for a while? And then they're taking pictures of themselves with all the cute boys. And I'm just thinking, like, what the heck is the end game here?
It's very weird, and also there's a lot of things. One, you're all on the clock. People are gonna notice that all the bellboys are gone. Two, how old are these? I don't know what the age of like a bellhop would be, but probably not the right age to be hanging out with like some 14-year-old girls. This is a lot of, and like also like yeah, you're just kind of standing around. Like it's very weird.
yeah. Considering how they were not cool with that rapper Cool Dog hitting on them, I'm kind of wondering. I was like, okay, so what is this? What do you envision this situation to be?
Yeah, it's very strange because they're just kind of like standing there. Like after you get that picture, what now?
Like it's like that's their catchphrase. Just them looking at a boy and saying, oh.
Yeah, there's a lot of stupid sighing that happens. That's true. But yeah, those are the two, like oh, there's that person moments that I had.
Okay. All right. Let's kind of get wrapped up. Is there anything else that you can think of about the show that you want to bring up before we give our final thoughts? Any of our final grades?
I think it was just nice to have a show. I think this is one of the first shows I can think of where like the black girls are the stars of the show. Like clearly it's a story about them. And I think that's one of the things that I liked about it. Like, I feel like, you know, as they're growing and going, you know, like just learning new stuff and discovering new things and blah, 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 that I was just like more invested in it because it's like, you know, just more like relatable to me. And even though now it's like, okay, this is dumb, but like I can see like why I stuck with it for so long, because, you know, it's like I see myself in this, and that's always exciting.
I wanted to mention one thing I forgot to point out before. So this show and way too much of the media in this time frame, like too much of the entertainment and comedy of this show is based around the fact that, isn't it funny that they're twins? Or isn't it amazing that they're twins? Like, aren't twins fascinating?
the subtitle to the show is like, sister, twins, huh?
Yeah, like, is this too many heat burgers going like, twins? I dated a twin once, and I can tell you, it wasn't that big a deal.
I dated someone who had a lot of twins in his family, but he himself was not a twin. So it's not interesting.
So Aria, what would you give sister subtitle, huh, twins? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs somewhere in the middle.
I would say in the middle. Like, I'm not super into it now, but I really liked it when I was growing up, and I don't hate it. I do hate Roger, but I don't hate the show. And so I think it's a solid middle for me.
Yeah. Me too. Solid middle of the road for me. I think that the show is absolutely not for me, but there's nothing about the show that I find so offensive that it was like upsetting. I found it a little boring because I'm an old man who doesn't need to be watching 14-year-olds have adventures. but I like that this show exists. I think that this is a really good example of like a positive portrayal of African Americans and like in media, because totally. Like there's not really a ton in the way of stereotyping here. Not much. Like, let me find a little bit, but I'm not looking at this and being like feeling like black people are being misrepresented in a way to entertain white people the way that there's other things. Is Homeboys in Outer Space one of those things? Maybe.
Yeah, but I 100% like agree with that. Like, you're having like the plot lines and like the stuff that they go through. I mean, this is like standard teen or like early 90s teen sitcom shit, but it's just that it's happening to these two black girls, and there's something really nice about that. Like, they're like, you because black girls have the same kind of issues that like all of these like sitcoms with the white girls are having, and it's nice to like get that here as well.
Yeah. So next week we are going to be doing, as I blurted out earlier, The Last Action Hero, which I'm not sure if calling it a spoof is the right word, but it's definitely like almost like a satire of an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. Also, there's magic in the little boy's heart, which was also a common theme of movies in the 90s, I think.
This is one of the few movies that I very much remember seeing in theaters.
Yeah. Yeah, we did see it in theaters.
Yeah.
See, like, I feel like I want to do this movie mostly so we can do it. I don't actually remember this movie being like... I feel like I remember this... I think I saw this movie maybe half the time that since it came out and being like, this movie fucking sucks.
No.
So we'll see if I still feel that way. But I am not the biggest Schwarzenegger fan.
No.
So we're going to say... Although I do remember... that I believe that all the Schwarzenegger roles in the world of Last Action Hero were just done by Sylvester Stallone. And I thought that was I thought that was cute.
I mean, I have watched a lot of Total Recall and Running Man, but that is entirely because of my boyfriend making me do that. So
I've gone to great lengths to not watch Total Recall as an adult, because I just don't, because I remember being freaked out by certain scenes in that film. I just didn't want to expose myself to it again.
Honestly, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I feel like when I watched it, I was just like, oh, this is why I didn't watch it as a kid. Like, I was like, this is probably, I'm sure we were like just a barrel full of nopes with this movie.
Okay. Well, in any event, if we're going to hit that dusty trail, if you want to tell us your thoughts about Sister Sister or maybe other black sitcoms that you have good memories of, or any sort of like thing that you think that we would like to check out, you can email us at adultsiblingsversus@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at adultversus on Twitter, or you can send us a message on Facebook. Our theme song is Sell Out by Zombie Apocalypse Now from the EP Forbidden Tales of Science. You can find that and more at the website antizombierock.bandcamp.com. So, Ariel, question for you. If you had a secret twin, what do you think that her name would be?
Nega Ari?
an evil reverse colored version of yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and we would, she'd just be like, yeah, the negative coloring of me, and we'd have to fight. And yeah, it's just inevitable.
This is like the antimatter Ariel, who's like, if you fight, it actually destroys the universe.
Yeah, she just shows up with like red eyes. It's terrifying.
Oh boy. All right, so we're going to go ahead and consult an astrophysicist to see if we can, like, you know, how in danger we are of this actually happening. But... until next time, as always, please do not put a dirty sock in your initial mouth.
Sister, sister!
I'm pretty sure my twin would be named Professor Zoom, the reverse Jason.
I love that.
Also, I always assumed that another evil version of me would be half me and then half Childish Gambino, and he'd be known as the composite Childish Gambino.